Greetings, grace and peace. Certainly, we are so excited to have you with us for another amazing episode of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. I'm so ecstatic that you are here with me, and I anticipate that we have on the D-Free platform been supporting you and helping you as we are all committed to being financially free in 2023. The goal this year is not change. We want to ensure that you have all of the strategies. My aim in these episodes is always to ensure that you see real life people with their circumstances, how they continue to dream big dreams and pursue them no matter what transpires in their life. Now, this guest here absolutely needs no introduction. When you see her face, you'll think that she is indeed my Irish twin. I have known her all her life, while she has not known me all of mine. I am talking about none other than the co-visionary, the best friend that I could ever have. My very own sister, Sanji K. Grandy, is with us as a guest on today. Because when you're dreaming, you want to ensure that you have a wonderful, amazing support team that comes on with you. And there's her lovely face. See, you see hair and not hair. How are you today?
Hi, I am doing well. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. And I have to say, I did kind of pull the big sister card that you've been a little bit under the weather, and I was trying to wait, you know. And so I'm forever grateful that you are here with me today. Listen, I have come out with this book. It's called The Quiet Shift. And, you know, you and I, thank you. You and I, you know, every time we have something going on, we have been, and I bless God for that, each other's biggest cheerleader. And you have amazing things on the horizon as well. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on initially is because as we pursue our dreams, we embark on these goals and these desires that we have, life gets in the way. And so one of the things that I wanted to do with The Quiet Shift is to talk about really what it is that we have gone through in real time. And so we won't tell them. You'll have to come back and tell them about your book about blended families. And we're going to be very excited when that comes up down the pipeline in 2023. But we both do address caring for Wilma K. Cuthbertson. And so, you know, as you were dreaming your dreams and pursuing at that season of your life, why don't you just kind of share with us what your thought process was, what your life experience was during the time in which we got the devastating news that mommy was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer?
Oh, well, it's crazy because what they don't know that we both know is, yes, I'm revisiting this time frame myself, you know, as I go through my own personal adventure in my book writing. But at that time, the experience that I was having, not only just in a change in my career, because I started a new job, you know, I had my own health challenges, which were pretty serious at that time. But my husband was overseas at the time. And so there was a lot of things, a lot of moving parts going on in life for all of us individually as sisters. And then to get this devastating news that, hey, your mom, not only is she sick, but she's sick to a point in which death is imminent. It really kind of shifted everything that was going on in our individual lives. And so you and I took the mantle up and said, okay, so what do we do now, right? And I particularly was very close with her in that you know, she and I spent a whole lot of time together. She was kind of my partner in running to the grocery store, whatever it was that, you know, I was doing on a day-to-day basis while my husband was overseas. And so I didn't really have time at that time to process the whole idea of she's here today and won't be here in however long it was going to take, you know, for her to transition. This woman that I talk to 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day, there's a possibility, and I mean, not just a possibility, but she's not going to be here. it was just kind of like a go mode.
Right.
And, you know, the care for her was, what are we doing? How are we going to get this done? And so dealing with my own health issues and then you just being phenomenal and making sure that, you know, big sister wise, everything, you know, you always been kind of level headed one in that sense. Everything was done. I didn't process the moment as we were in the moment. And I don't know that a lot of people outside of our immediate circle really knew that the day that she transitioned, which was really big for me personally, is the same day that my husband came home for good. And so it was that level of, I got two major events happening, you know? I'm supposed to be excited because I get my husband back, but I lost my best friend and my mom. And so I had all of this emotion collision course that just kind of exploded all at the same time. I don't know what I was supposed to do.
You know, one of the things that is equally devastating, but I tell it lightheartedly, is that mommy always indicated that we were going to be her retirement plan and her long-term care plan. And this is, you know, we understand the economics behind the realities of those situations. And we were at the time and still are in the building phase. We're Generation Xers in the building phase. And I don't think people or parents really understand what that means. But in your own words, from the time that she had said that when we were much younger, why don't you share what we thought a good strategy was going to be and how that just absolutely did not work out the way we anticipated?
Well, there's four of us, right? So the idea was that you and I financially would pick up the burden for her.
Write a check, people. I thought that's what I was going to do.
I was saying it nicely, but yes, we would write the check that would make sure that she would be taken care of long-term, period. No one ever imagined that she would have to live with anybody, but if she did, it would more than likely be me, right? That guy, you, I see you pointing, but I understand she would live with me and then you would write the bigger check than I would, but I would certainly be there financially to supplement whatever it is that you didn't write. That was the goal or her mindset, I believe, since we were kids. Because you were the Wall Street person, right? Growing up, you were the one, you were the six-figure person when we were the young one. You were the one that were going to be the most successful in all things. And so she just had a vision. The other two were just
supplemental.
they were going to pitch in where they were going to pitch in. But her long-term care plan was, I'm going to spend my last days with Sanji. Cause she's gonna care for me. She's gonna love me the way I need to be loved. She ain't gonna pinch me. She's gonna bring me water and food and snacks and the things that I need. But Nicole gonna make sure that I'm financially, you know, well-rounded. I'm gonna have the good things that I need. And that's it. And we were like, yeah, sure. Cause we got many years to worry about that. What we didn't see was 9/11 happening, you know. We didn't see me being one that was going to be sick. We didn't see any of those things. So we just kind of all like, yeah, okay, whatever. Sure, mom.
And that's the thing that I think is so important, that your dream, you have these ideas of where it is you want to go, what it is you want to pursue. Other people buy into the dreams, and life doesn't always pan out the way that you anticipate that it's going to pan out. Interestingly enough, you already identified that you were in transition vocationally at that time. And once again, in 2023, you found yourself in a transition yet again. Why don't you tell us about that experience?
Okay, so yeah, this time it's not, by choice. I thought last year, you know, I found a job that was going to be the one that perhaps I retired from, but somehow there was other plans in the universe for that. And in December, found myself on a list of people that got laid off. Although it wasn't quite a surprise, it was still something that was, you know, the rug being pulled up from up under you, you know, because I just bought a house, you know, I just bought a car.
In a very nice zip code, I might add.
yeah, you know, I'm on a $500,000 plus house, and, you know, beautiful car. And like, you think that you have all of this time, right? You think that you laid out your financial strategy for how you want to do a thing, and then something like that happens. And so you're left with this, oh my, what do I do next? How am I going to get through the next couple of months, weeks, days, years, whatever it's going to look like by way of vocation, finances, whatever. But several things, you know, caused me not to want panic. So those two things behind me, those two things behind me lets the world of insurance know that I probably am at the top of my game, I should say, in my vocation. So getting another job, it's not as hard as it's going to be, right? And so for that, my choice to go back to work, I can actually take a little bit of a leisure and vet some new people out. But the devastation of, you know, not having that direct deposit could have been a far worse, you know, hit to my family if I wasn't so good at what it is that I do, right?
And I might add, if you didn't have an amazing...
I was going there. I was not going to negate the fact that I happen to have the very best CFP. No, hands down, the very best CFP in the entire world. And so if you don't know who that is, then you're not watching the right broadcast right now. And so the strategies to save over the course of years left us in a place where devastation was not my portion, but it could have been easily, because then I happen to have a claim in my house that was equally as devastating on top of all of that. And so there was just a vortex of different things that happened all at the same time that financially could have really bankrupted my family. If not for the things that my CFP had instilled in me to put in place years ago, not months.
Thank you.
Years ago. I want to be very clear. This is not something that I started working on in September when I bought the house. This is years of planning so that when something like this occurred, I'm okay to tell a new job. Yeah, I'll start working in April. And I lost my job in December.
The reason why I wanted to start off with, you know, talking about Wilma. Sometimes when we're as writers, everyone, I say Wilma, I say mommy, I say, you know, but so that the audience will know, Wilma is, you know, was our mother's name. But I wanted to start off there because as we were dreaming then, life happened. And we're in this place in 2023 where there are big agenda items on the horizon for Wilma's girls, and life is still happening. And so I'm appreciative of the fact that you identified, you know, where your level of personal, you know, personal situation is, but how do you, because you do it well, and I know because you're my Irish twin, you still dream in the midst of it. And so that's the aspect that I want people to understand, that when you dare to dream, it's the first thing that's on the agenda. Secondly, is the economic aspect to it. You kind of alluded to the fact that when you start dreaming about where it is you want to go in your life, what it is that you want to acquire, what it is you want to have, you don't start today for tomorrow. You started yesterday for next week. And that level of time, I want you to begin to just, you know, share with the individuals some of the things that you have dreamed about that you're pursuing now that you didn't have to miss a beat. And I will start off by saying, guys, listen, this Quiet Shift, the Quiet Shift book, is 20 years in the making. And so it's not a new thing. As you indicated, Sanji, 9/11 happened. We had no idea. There were a multitude of things that have gone on. But yet you and I know, have been able to stay focused on pursuing dreams and not allowing them to die. That's what I think you have the ability to share with individuals that will help them to stay encouraged, even if they have a devastating year like we did in 2014, 2015, and like we did in, you know, the tail end of, you know, going out of 2022 into 2023.
Okay, so that's actually such an easy answer. So years ago, I decided that I was going to prepare myself. I am already a condo owner. Wanted to buy a house, but was not quite ready in the position and financially and some other things to get to where I was. I had alluded to the fact that my husband was overseas and, you know, some other things going on. So the preparation for that started years ago, not only just with work, but putting money aside, working with my financial advisor as to how to get from point A to point Z. Over the course of these years, we worked out a strategic plan as to how to get from there to there. Part of my life purpose too is I also am an entrepreneur in the sense that I want to expand my business in doing more consulting and mentoring and things like that, which will allow me in my vocation to have flexibility from my job that pays me to freedom and flexibility to go out and do the things that I want to do. I cannot do that if I don't have enough money set aside, you know, to be able to still continue to pay for the things that I have and the things that I love and the luxuries of life. So what does that all look like? How do I get there? How do I continue to pursue the things that make me happy in the heart and still be able to serve and do all of those things? Well, it took planning. It took lots of planning. And it took planning in that, first of all, you have to know what it is that you want to do. And that took a little conversations with me and my family, understanding what it was. And that took a look at not just my vocation and job structure, like where did I want to be in the workplace, but finding the right job that will give me the flexibility to have the right hours and time to put into it, the right benefits, talking to my CFP to see what kind of money it is that I needed to set aside, how much money did I need to have X, Y, and Z for these ventures to do, to have money for my home, to have money to buy a new car, to have money to go on vacation. So that if something should arise, be it a devastating loss to a claim or something, you know, by me losing my job, something so significant as that, because that's a major loss of income, will I be able to sustain and still be able to move forward? I said just a short moment ago that the luxury of being able to save and do whatever it is that I've done gives me the affordability to tell a new employer, I don't want to start work right away. That's something that I cherish because I can rest right now in the space that we're in at midway point in February and pursue the dream that I've been dreaming and finish out some of the projects that I had to put on the back burner while I was working full time and get them off of the ground. And so not being, you know, not having to put my dreams to the side and just really find the space to do all of this and have that financial comfort is what it's all about.
So here's the thing. We have the Dare to Dream Institute. So let me pause there. And I just—
And yes, and we're doing the master classes on top of everything. It's like, yes. Go ahead.
Let's start with the Dare to Dream Institute. Because see, when I dream dreams, guys, this is the way that it goes with us as siblings. Sometimes I'll call Sanji directly.
Sometimes
I'll post it on Facebook. Hey, Sanji, will you go half on a baby with me? And so she knows that we're trying to birth something else. And sometimes she'll say, okay, now I got something for you that I want to do. And you know, and so we support each other in that way. And so years ago, for those of you that don't know, let me backtrack just even a little bit further. Dare to Dreams concept came out of prayer. I was leading in public prayer one day and the Lord said to me, Nicole, your dreams don't even impress me. That is a devastating thing to hear from God when you think you're doing all that you know to do, and therefore Dare to Dream was birthed. And so it is a book, it's called Dare to Dream, Pushing Past Your Pain to Pursue Purpose. You know, and then we have had the affordability of doing this show titled Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. And we together have the Dare to Dream Institute and a lot of other things that have been in alignment with that. One of your dreams, as it falls under all of these things, fall under the umbrella of Generation X, right? And so right. You have a dream to be the executive director with a nice salary. And Generation X, and I think Dare to Dream Institute is actually going to get you there so that, like, you know, you can just do it, because I don't be wanting to do all of the administrative and all the other stuff, ask money and all the good stuff, but I will when I have to. So when you look at that, there's some programs, some initiatives, some of the dreams that you want to pursue that have all to do with you giving back to individuals. People who know you value you as a mentor, which is the next thing that's coming on the platform of the Dare to Dream Institute. But in that regard, when you think of the Dare to Dream Institute and being able to create curriculum that advances our culture and our community at levels that they may not have been able to afford before, how does that fit into your dreams and where it is that you're looking to go?
Well, it most definitely is a next step, right? We've been co-creating even probably when we didn't even know it from the womb to where we are now, right? And so we've carefully crafted something that is going to be around forever. I believe that. And so now we are in a space in which we're going to take a, and I don't want to call it a pivot because that's not the right word, but we're going to take a leg and kind of go into a different direction, right? And so this is where the pieces in which are more centered around those things that are my vision in that sense, right? Because like I said, that was birthed from your prayer. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's been very successful. The legacy of mentoring, right? There's just so much that is going to come from it. And we both have been feeling this like sense of excitement come from within. I am currently, and this will just have to be, they're gonna have to wait until I come back. I'm currently working on something now. And so I don't want to get too far ahead. You see, I'm being coy about it. I'm currently working on something now that I believe will leave a very lasting legacy, not just for our Generation X and the Dare to Dream and everything under its totality, you know, the whole umbrella of the family of Generation X, but just in the Sign G Grandy brand overall, because it is who I am. I was born to be a mentor.
Yes, you was. Now, so normally what I would do at this stage is I would tell individuals steps that I think you should take in order to continue dreaming big dreams and what that should look like financially speaking. But since you've already known.
But you're a coach and you've already coached me well enough that I have gone forth and done the work.
And you have. And that's why I was going to say, to you that the audience is going to find value that while this may not be about Sanji per se, because I am her coach, she's a mentor, I am the coach in the financial arena overall. What I want to do, you know, and she can, you know, add to it for those of you that are out there, you know, I want you to be able to see that there are steps that you can take that even in the midst of trauma or tragedy, steps that you take in order to implement and pursue your dreams at all costs. And so that's what this conversation was all about. We wanted to start off today and letting you know that even in the pursuit of dreams, goals, you know, desires, dreams that you may have, even in the pursuit of that, you may have a setback here and or there, but how does it not hinder you from the overall vision that you may have for your life. And so the first thing that we've identified is start today for wherever it is that you see yourself. One of the things that I have told my congregation as a pastor is I'm living for 2031 now. I'm working on 2031. I'm actually a little further ahead than that. But what is that saying? And so that those of you that are dreaming, you're not putting yourself in a box of thinking, what will happen today if, you know, what will happen to me today if devastation came knocking on my door? The thing that you're able to see in Sanji's life is that because she started the pursuit of things years before trauma came knocking on the door. And I might add that you'll see in her book, it was after the first traumatic experience, because sometimes we don't know when to start planning for these dreams. And so the first thing that you want to do is you want to outline where it is that you're looking to go, not just from a day, a week, a month, or a year, but make it broader, make it a decade, make it, you know, in a lifetime, where it is that you feel like you want to go. Then sit down with someone to find out, what does that look like financially? And then the other thing that is the difference between she and I, and I'm going to allow her to add whatever it is that she so desires thereafter. I'm a pure entrepreneur. I am told that nobody writes me a check. She's a blended entrepreneur, meaning she has the benefit of what I've shared with you guys all the time. If you have W-2 income, still have that business that you can increase over time. And so when you have that leveraged opportunity, you then have the ability to say, well, this is what my dreams look like, and dedicate what I think is important time to pursuing it so that you can be happy. The one thing that you brought to the table today, and I appreciate it so very much, is that you talked about your emotional space every step of the way, the desire to be happy, the desire to give back, the desire to contribute, the desire to do those things. And the one thing that has never bound you to not being able to pursue that was economics. Now that's a beautiful lesson in daring to dream. So your thoughts, anything else that you might be able to add to the people so that they would know?
Sure. I love being a blended person. Hence my book is blended, right? It's all about the blending, right? The great thing about being a blended employee / entrepreneur is that as you elevate in life, right? Because entrepreneurship is for everyone. Everyone has a gifting or something that's in them that I absolutely support and say that go and get your money, right? Go and do the thing that you are created to do because it can yield great results. The reason that I choose to still be a W-2 employee and happily sell, it's not because I like working for the man. It's because the man works for me in the sense that I have worked my way hard enough to the top that any position that I take, and I've been blessed, and you can attest to this, any position that I've taken in life, I work it so that whatever it is, it's tailored to help me further any entrepreneurial job that, or any entrepreneurial pursuit. And it all works together for the greatness of who I am as an individual. And so let it be a benefit to you. And it doesn't hurt that you get direct deposit. Like that never, ever, ever hurt. You know, I set my hours, I set my salary. Like it doesn't hurt. Now, don't try this at home if you're working at McDonald's, no slight to that. But I'm saying there are some things that when you get to a certain place in your career, you can and shall demand.
And that's so, what I'm talking about.
That is where I am in life.
Me and Sanja can talk all day, but I'm so glad that you stopped by Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole in this formal setting. People get to see us all the time, but sometimes I want them to know, that we are intentional about daring to dream and pursuing them at all costs so that we can do, I believe, which is the work of the Lord that has instructed us. He put us together as siblings for a reason. So for those of you that are out there, listen, I want you to understand that there's always going to be cheerleaders in your life. I find that one. It doesn't have to be a blood relative. It could be someone that just believes and aspires and believes in you. When you're daring to dream, it's always good to have someone that is willing to dream those dreams with you, that have those thoughts with you, share those thoughts with you, and dream on their own as well so that you can support them. That is the blessing that I have in Sanji K. Grandy. That is the blessing that I have in being Wilma's kid. I want you to understand, no matter what transpires in your life, dream big dreams, dare to dream, pursue them at all costs. And you may find that life will throw you a challenge here and or there, such as the challenge of coming into the understanding that our mother needed care in the middle of us dreaming big dreams, but yet and still we stood and we were able to manage and successfully navigate it, that Wilma had no lack of anything in her life. But you owe it to your family to ensure that you take the quiet shift in the midst of dreaming big dreams. I love you to life. God bless you. If you so desire to be a guest on Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole, please reach out to us. We would love to have you with us. Until we meet again, Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. God bless.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.